What is up, guys, and welcome to the Meeple Minded Podcast, the podcast where we talk all things tabletop gaming. My name is Jason, and joining me in the Meeple Minded studio today is the host of, in my opinion, the best podcast that covers all things movies, TV shows, video games, and board games. So please make welcome to the show the host of the MTVB podcast, Ant. How are you doing, Ant?
Hello, sir. Thank you. That was quite an intro for me there.
Well, I thought I'd better give it a bit of oomph, because you know,
a bit of a pop.
Exactly. get the crowd popping, you know.
Exactly.
I was thinking about doing it in like a wrestling ring announcer's voice, but pull that off.
Yeah, I can't pull out an intro theme either, last minute or so.
Maybe just pull out it in the red corner.
Yeah, exactly. You've got the movies, in the upper corner you've got the TV.
So yeah, how have you been? It's been a while since I've seen you, man, all this global apocalypse and apparently there's some kind of virus going around.
Who'd have thought, eh?
I know.
But no, thanks for having me here, man. It's really, really good to be here. Finally made the cut. Thank you.
We had Wayne on a little while ago. I know you listened to the episode.
It's a good episode as well, yeah.
We've been trying so hard to get both you and Wayne on. And eventually I'm going to get Simon on as well.
Yeah.
I've got a few other friends as well from different other podcasts. Well, I'm going to get you all on. Yeah. It's just, you know, COVID. I can't.
Exactly.
I can't
when you're free, when I'm free, yeah.
So yeah, I'm really glad we finally got you on.
Yeah.
The stars aligned and we found a day that we were both free.
We made it. We're here.
We didn't manage to get any games in beforehand though. That depresses me a little bit.
Yeah, that is a nuisance. But I'm sure, you know, times are changing. We'll get back to that for another time.
Definitely. This is the first time you've been in the Meeple Minded studio.
This is. I'm certainly impressed. That collection has totally beaten mine. I mean, some of this, I'm just, wow, I didn't even know half of this stuff existed. This is crazy.
Is there any particular ones that jump out at you that you really want to play that I'll bring along to the next?
Yeah, definitely that beefy Hellboy looking thing there in the back and that beefy looking Mighty Morphin Power Rangers as well. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know how I feel about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, we all do, yeah. You've got some set in history of the Red Ranger on that one as well.
I do.
But that's for another episode, guys.
Indeed. So, it's a tabletop gaming podcast. You do cover all things, you know, for your various loves with movies, TV shows, and video games as well. But for the first part of this, we'll focus on the tabletop side of things.
The B in MTVB.
The B, yeah. We're the last bit. I mean, why are we the last bit?
That's so bad. I just, how can I make it catchy? I can put B, TV, M or a bit, you know? It's literally MTV with a B at the end.
Yeah, it doesn't flow quite as nice if you're at the B at the front.
Exactly, yeah.
Although we know spiritually it should be.
Exactly, of course. It should have been there. It didn't make the cut.
Yeah. So, obviously, the first question I have to ask everyone is, what first got you into tabletop gaming? Were you a war gamer? Were you a card gamer or board games? And what's your earliest memory of getting into it?
So, I kind of have two times where I got into tabletop gaming. So, do you know the TV show Stranger Things?
I do indeed, yes.
Right. So, do you remember the scene in season one where they're all in their basement playing D&D and all this sort of stuff?
Yeah.
So, basically, I used to live in London before I moved to Crawley. And my cousin was heavily into those D&D games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But not so much like the board game aspect of it. There was like ones where it was just like you choose your campaign and whatnot. It's all through book and whatnot. Yeah. But he also done that with like Marvel characters, whatnot, mm-hmm. And very, very cool stuff. And so I kind of got into it early then. And then I kind of, and you know, mum, dad, I want this sort of stuff. And then I ended up getting something like HeroQuest or Keys to the Kingdom, the more softer stuff for the child.
It's amazing how HeroQuest always comes up in people's origin stories.
Broadsword. Always comes up. But it is a classic, isn't it? You know? Yeah. But what a cracking advert. It was such a good advert. So that Keys to the Kingdom, Space Crusader, kind of grew up. Moved to Crawley, met a guy who was into his Warhammer stuff. So slowly got into that, but never really got the full, you know, the full part of it. So then obviously, unfortunately, then there was the big craze of video game consoles had come out. Super Nintendos, your Mega Drives, your PlayStation 1s, and then it kind of just, board gaming had just completely gone out of my life.
I think I would say I fell into that as well.
Yeah, totally.
You know, we all sort of got taken by that whole thing of, oh, you know, it's, I don't have to sit and build miniatures, I don't have to paint miniatures.
Exactly.
I can just shoot stuff on the television. And you know, I remember growing up, as I used to love going out to the park and kicking a football around,
rather than pressing a
button to do it.
Exactly.
But then of course everyone else was just pressing the button. I was like, well, okay, now I'm gonna do that. And it took over my life. So there was so many years where tabletop gaming was just gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
and there wasn't an awful lot out, if I remember, at the time, apart from a new edition of the M word.
Yeah, well, there's always a new edition.
There's
of
always
the M-word.
A new edition. I'm tempted by the Jurassic Park one, though. I'm a big fan of that. But I haven't bought it yet.
Fair enough.
I haven't bought it yet.
Is it for collection or is it to actually
literally
play?
For collection, because I've got so much Jurassic Park.
In that
Park
case,
stuff,
I can accept it.
Yeah, it would never leave the box. It would never open a box. Yeah. But So obviously the video games had come out. And then up until a few years ago, I believe it was like 2017, 2018, I used to meet up with a group of guys from work. We would do like a games night, but it was a video games night. It wasn't like an actual board game thing. We used to do Halo nights and stuff like that and whatnot. Yeah. And then until eventually I came across a board game that Mondo released, which was the Infection of Outpost 31.
Mm-hmm.
Being a big movie fan, The Thing fan, I thought, wow, this would be great. Just get, you know, back into board games and see what the games were like, whatnot. Unfortunately, I never really read the rules on the day, so we had to spend half the day learning the rules. And then when we really got into it, it was just like, wow, this was like going back to that childhood when I was playing board games and whatnot. And I was like, I wasn't really picking up all the normal stuff at the time. I was just buying the next movie board game. There was a Die Hard one. There was Evil Below and whatnot. So we were kind of doing that. And then obviously the guys at Board Stupids were like, oh, hang on. This game's out. Why don't you try this game? So, and it's kind of just gone on from there, and it's been like an addiction ever since, really. Yeah. So
that's the one thing with it, with this hobby, is an addiction.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I can safely say, like, you had me on as a guest on your podcast in your very first season, and I think I admitted it there as well. Like, if I remember correctly, Simon referred to me as a pro of all of us that were there at the time.
Yeah, you still are. And compared
at which point
to me and
I had
Simon
to turn around and say, I've literally only played board games for maybe two years at the time. It's a bit more than that now, but you know, it was 2 years at the time. And so I still class myself as a noob, but I have...
I don't know, man. Just looking around this room, I wouldn't consider that at all.
I've dived into it pretty head first.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
Yeah, much to the partner's dismay, half the living room is dedicated to editing and
painting,
recording,
and
painting.
In fairness, if I didn't have kids, my house would probably look like this as well. So
yeah, it's definitely a hobby that you dive headfirst into when you fall in love with it.
Yeah, man.
So what would you? Is there any memorable moments from the times you've or games you've played? What's your favorite one that got you into it?
So I could have gone with a bunch of things for here right now. Okay, so I've picked one in particular because I basically found, obviously there's many YouTube channels that do board games and whatnot.
Oh, yes.
And one Christmas Eve, I actually bumped onto a channel called Shut Up and Sit Down, which obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you know what that is.
Yeah, the Brighton guys.
Exactly, yeah. So, and they introduced a game that I had never heard of. It's a very old game called Croconaw.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it looked fantastic, right? Obviously, the only reason was I couldn't get it was the price.
Oh, yeah.
Either way,
it's not a cheap game.
It's no way a cheap game. Like, the board alone is like nearly 250 quid or whatnot.
Yeah, I think I've looked at that a few times, and I think if I announced to my partner that I'd spent that kind of money on, essentially, it's a very nice bit of wood.
Yes.
But it's essentially a big bit of wood with a couple of hockey pucks.
Just a few.
I think that would be the end of me.
Yeah, so I put up the courage to actually, you know, buy it. I say buy it, everyone. I'm air quotating at the time here, because you can't see it. My wife still to this day doesn't know how much she pays it, but she doesn't need to podcast. So I'm safe for now. Anyway, long story short, I bought this game and thought, oh God, this is going to be really, really good for my guys and bring it to their house. So I brought it over and they're all looking at me to say, what the hell is this monstrosity of a board? Yeah. Whatnot? What's with these, like you said, little pucks, whatnot? I said, look, just give me a chance. I'll explain it. Very quick, easy rule, very easy setup. And then we played it through the whole day.
Yeah.
Like, we were making tournaments. We were doing, like, wrestling things. We bought belts and whatnot. Croconaw belts, like, you know, because you can do doubles on it as well. So we had tag team belts as well. To this day, I'm still champ, by the way. So, you know, someone give me a challenge.
I've never had a chance to actually play it. So I think, dude, I'm going to challenge you for that title.
Oh, there we go. Yes, I'll bring it over next time. Yeah. It's awesome, dude. It's, like, one of my favorites. Like, I introduced it to my dad last year during COVID, when we sort of had that little break, whatnot, in the summer. Yep, yep. And there's not one day where I go to his house, my parents' house now, and he's like, where's the board?
Yeah.
You know, it's in the car, isn't it, son? I was like, you know, come on, Dad, give me a bit of a heads up. It's a big bastard. So, you know, so yeah, that's got to be one of my favorites, because I was just so dreading that they were going to hate this game, and I spent so much money on it.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, no, this is fantastic. And we don't play it as much now, but we still play it to this day.
Yeah. Well, I think definitely next time we get a game night going that we're both able to attend, I'd like to give it a go.
I've
heard so many good things about it, and I've seen it many times. Like when I was at UK Games Expo, they had it there, but it was the queue to play it was crazy.
Okay.
That says so much about the game itself. It's like, it's such a simple game.
Mm.
And such an expensive game.
Yeah, totally.
And yet, at the UK Games Expo, where you've got hundreds and hundreds of thousands of games about, and people are queuing for Crokinole. So
yeah, and considering that game is centuries old.
Yeah.
And like you said, if people are queuing for that, when you've got all this new stuff, that's pretty incredible.
It's impressive. It's very impressive. It speaks to its awesomeness.
So yeah,
look
totally.
Forward to playing that. So other than board games, which we know you play, do you play any other tabletop games nowadays? I know you dabbled in Warhammer at one point. Do you do role playing or anything like that?
Probably not so much role playing. I do play a bunch of stuff. I mean, there's a couple of things I'm a bit not sure about still, but we'll probably get to that later anyway. But you know, everything from your card games, your app based games, co-op games, puzzle games. I had to go through COVID with my kids, so I had to play games sort of their range. But they are pretty good at Crokinole now. I'm into it all, at the end of the day, if it wasn't for, like I said, yourself, Board Stupid, and the Legend of Podcasting guys, mm-hmm. who are just so nice to come and say, look, Ant, give this game a try, we know you're into this stuff, I wouldn't be into all sorts of games.
Yeah.
For example, Wayne and Simon asked if I wanted to try Western Legends.
Yeah.
Now, I can't stand cowboys. I don't have a thing for it. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about people that do, but I wasn't too sure about it. But when I actually gave it a go, I gave it a chance, it obviously broadened my horizons as to it's not just about the cowboys. It's like, this is like Red Dead Redemption, but on a board game.
Yeah.
So that's why I was, intrigued by it.
And that game especially, it's another one that keeps evading me. And I was meant to play it with Wayne and Simon at one point. But I just love the whole sandbox aspect of some of those types of games. I was like, well, like you said, I can rob a bank. Well, hell yeah, I'm going to rob a bank. I was like, hang on a minute, I can rob you. Yeah. I'm going to rob you.
Educate some hoes.
I'm going to educate some hoes. I can stand around on a street corner and pimp myself out. Well,
exactly.
I'm going to do that as well because I can. Why not? It's great.
It is brilliant. I'm intrigued to try the expansion because it's meant to do something with a train robbery and stuff. Just that game alone was like, if this game can do this, I need to look elsewhere and check out all the other stuff,
Yeah, I really look forward to playing that game as well. Yeah. So, Wayne, Simon, sort it out.
Yeah, guys, come on.
Let's get it going.
Come on, Board Stupid.
what would you say is your bread and butter of tabletop gaming? Like, if you had to pick a type of game that you want to play, what would it be?
Well, Jason, you know me well enough. I think you know where this is going to go, sir.
Oh. Go on.
Social Deduction is the best type of board games, in my opinion. I friggin' love these games. I just love how, you have to lie your ass off just to get past your mates and some of the arguments that, you cause for one another. I mean, I have lost some near friendships through social deduction games and whatnot. But it's not just that. I mean, some of them are good for parties.
Yep.
Like, if you bring people into it, like Deception Murder in Hong Kong is a great game to get, people that don't play board games normally and give it a go. My sister and her brother-in-law came over and we played it with my wife and whatnot, and it was just like that was sort of murder mystery sort of night, but in your home sort of thing. My guys that I play with are deep into Avalon. They friggin' love that game. Simple card game that no matter how many times or whatever, how many board game nights we have, Avalon's got to pop out every single time.
Nice.
And to another one that will be probably on my list later as well, whatnot. But yeah, Social Deduction is just, I can go on forever. I mean, like I said, Shadows of Camelot is a great game, but not necessarily has to have a traitor in it. Dead of Winter can have a traitor in it.
Yeah. Nemesis.
Nemesis, Obscurio, Masquerade, Spyfall. I love them all.
Yeah.
I know they're all very simple, basic, but I just love that,
So it doesn't have to be a dedicated social deduction game.
Exactly.
It can be, as long as it's got a social deduction element to it.
It
adds
absolutely
to the game for you.
Mm.
Nice, yeah. I've got to admit, I do like a social deduction game myself. Mainly because apparently I'm a really good liar.
Yes.
So
yeah, you got, yes, you have to be the best liars to get past,
yeah,
these games.
Yeah.
And there's some games where I'm terrible at lying.
Yeah.
And there's some I'm pretty good at. So
the worst thing is I find it's really strange because I'm pretty good at social deduction games, but I'm terrible at bluffing games.
Yes.
Despite the fact that they are technically the same thing.
I'm terrible at Skulls or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I'm awful at bluffing games.
Mm.
They're really good, but yeah, social deduction games, absolutely love them. Have you, you know, one of the ones that I get asked to bring along quite a lot is Hail Hydra, you know, which is
I've not played that. I've
essentially a re-theme of Secret Hitler.
Right, okay.
It's similar in many, many ways, but different in others.
Okay.
Again, very, very good game, but there's just something special about at some point you can declare yourself as a Hydra agent in order to get a bonus.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be at least two and you know who each other are. And maybe you want to take the pressure off of someone else who's getting, who you know has got a really good card that's going to, you know, potentially win you the game.
Sure.
But they're about to get found out. You can just sort of draw the attention to yourself. Just flip your card and go, "Hail Hydra!" I got caught out.
I love how you put your hand up like an exactly. answer as well.
I got caught out last time we played it though, because James, the guy who's been on the podcast quite a lot recently, actually was playing us. And I forget how well he knows me.
Sure.
I was a Hydra agent. And it seems to be, for weird reason, because it's random as to who the Hydra agent is.
Okay.
There's no word of a lie. Every single time I've played it, I've been the damn Hydra agent.
Oh, really?
It's almost as if it's meant to be. And, of course, I knew this. I was like, oh, okay, I'll choose my character. I chose Captain America.
Right.
You know, for the irony of the fact that I love that story arc when he is actually a Hydra agent. He knew instantly.
No way.
So the whole game is like, it's him. It's, for no other reason.
Kind of seems pointless playing with him, really.
This is why he chose Captain America. But no, I loved it because no one would believe him.
Oh, fair enough, yeah. But like, that's the beauty of social deduction games, isn't it?
So it's like, yes, yeah, you knew all along, and I knew you knew all along, but I'm a damn good liar.
Yeah, totally. And I just love how the tactic has to change every now and then as well. Like, do you pin it on someone else and get away with it?
Exactly.
Or do you play like, yeah, I am the bad guy?
I did that in that particular game because the other Hydra agent was actually my partner. I was like, I'm not getting caught out, so she can be thrown under the bus.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. See ya.
So yeah, that was great fun. Really, really enjoyed that. Yeah. I love social deduction games.
And
I think there needs to be more. Like, I know there's loads, but I would love to see more.
Sure.
But yeah, so there's a question that every gamer gets asked, especially if you do things like a podcast or YouTube show or anything like that, where you are running a game club. You always get asked the same question. And you know what? I'm going to ask it again. And this actually works because you always do a top five on your shows.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to ask you, what are your top five tabletop games right now?
Right now. Right. This is going to be quite difficult because when Wayne was on my podcast, he actually came up with saying, top fives never stay the same on board games. Yeah. They change every week. So this will probably change tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah.
But I will give you my top five at the moment. So going in order from five down to one, number five, and I know a lot of you guys listening now are probably going to say, Anthony, why is it in your top five? But I love Zombicide 2nd Edition.
Okay.
I absolutely love that. I'm a big fan of Zombicide. I don't know why. I just love how, you know, the characters, the fact that you can change the boards, the different missions you can do, the fact that Simon or Kimon, however you pronounce it nowadays.
Yeah, it's another argument altogether.
Yeah, how they constantly update it every month or so. They put a new map in, whatnot.
Yeah,
the simplicity of what you have.
Yeah.
The different themes they have, like the Invaders, Black Plague, all that sort of stuff. I just love the difference. I know there's quite a few now that people are getting sick and tired of.
Yeah.
Sorry, Zombicide. But
they've kind of become a bit too reliant on it. Like, we haven't really got a new idea for this. But we'll release this game and put Zombicide on front of it.
Exactly, yeah.
And yeah, I understand people's frustrations with that. But at the same time, it's business, people.
Yeah, totally.
That's what you do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's face it. Zombicide, the original, needed a revamp. So when they did it to bring the new dashboards in and stuff, it was like, that's how it should have been in the first place. So in all fairness, it did need a revamp. But I only personally have two editions of it, so I don't really have all of them. I mean, I've only got, like I said, 2nd edition and the Night of the Living Dead, which I kickstarted last year as well, or not, which is really good. And it was also the first board game I attempted at painting because it's in black and white movie. I did them all in black and white. So it was quite an easy job, really.
Spray it black, bit of Xenophil highlighting on the top. Exactly.
It looks beautiful. Masterpiece.
I'm an expert painter. I'm never going to paint anything else for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and that's it. I haven't painted since. but yeah, we always crack it out every now and then. And some of the guys I play with really, really enjoy it to this day as well. We started off with Invader because, again, we're very sci-fi, sci-fi horror geeks at heart. But yeah, that'll be number five because, yeah, just really, really enjoy that.
It's a good solid start to the list. So.
We'll see. It's going to keep going, so you might not agree with the rest.
Fair enough. See, unlike your show, you're doing it all.
You're just lying back now as
I'm
well.
I'm just going to sit back. Damn it. I can't pick him. I mean, you've seen the collection, mate. There's no way I'm narrowing this down to five.
This is what I'm saying. I was literally looking at my collection early on saying, how do I do this? But anyway, number four is the recent one by Eric Lang, and that's Marvel United.
Oh, okay.
Marvel United, I really, really enjoy it. I remember when I saw this Kickstarter last year, I did not like the design for it whatsoever.
Yeah,
for
the character. The chibi style.
Exactly, yeah. It just wasn't my bread and butter.
I think I went, backing-wise of that, I went on and off about 27 times.
Yeah, exactly.
In the entire time that I was there. And I ended up, luckily, my decision was made for me on the last day. Is that I had a massive bill that came out for the car. I couldn't afford it. I didn't back it in the end. And to be honest, I've regretted it since.
It was kind of cheeky because the pledge, you couldn't just have the core box. You had to have at least one add-on for them to send out to you. It was very, very cheeky how they did that.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I see where you're coming from because I totally missed it as well. And then I went back to it when they would start coming, releasing out, and they're all on eBay for 70 plus quid.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I managed to get the core box on Amazon.com for £22.
Oh, wow. That's really good. Yeah.
So I thought I'll give it a try. It's cheap at the end of the day. And good God, it's brilliant. It's just, I love the mechanics to it. You know, I love the design for the cards, whatnot, the endless amount of characters you can pick. Every game is different regardless. And since then, my guys who I play with have bought the next expansion, that. We literally yesterday played the Infinity Gauntlet expansion.
Okay, yeah.
And it is amazing. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. You have to go through four games because normally Marvel United is just one game, but you have to do four to go through the Children of Thanos to get to Thanos and try and stop all the stop the Infinity Stones being collected. And it was incredible. They had a blast with that. I did too because I actually played as Thanos.
of course, you had a blast.
I had to, yeah, exactly. Whoop their asses, all that for a drop of blood. But yeah, and then we ended up buying the playmat as well, whatnot, and it just fits perfect. I love a playmat, guys. If anyone's listening, I love a playmat.
A neoprene playmat just makes a game.
Exactly. Like
the game could be garbage, but if it comes with a neoprene playmat,
makes all the difference.
You're automatically at a 2 out of 10 just for the playmat.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got a playmat. You've got 2 stars already.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, your game's made of cardboard, but that's 3 stars.
Yeah.
You got 3 points without even starting the game.
But that's it. Just for the playmat. But yeah, like I said, guys, I highly recommend it. If you're into your Marvel stuff, especially, it is a cracking game. And, you know, I'd love you guys to give it a go at some point as well.
Definitely.
I was considering bringing it to the club at one point.
Oh, hell yeah.
And just see if anyone would be interested in giving it a go.
As I say, if you tell me when you're coming, mate, I'm clearing my schedule. Excellent. I want to play that game.
I'll bring that over then.
Yeah, it seems to be one of those games that it's like a Marmite effect, isn't it? A love-hate thing online. Like, some people absolutely love it. And say it's the best thing since sliced bread, but others are like, "Oh, it's just crap. This is just it's a gateway game." It's like, well, just gateway game doesn't mean it has to be crap.
No, absolutely.
But Ticket to Ride, it's an amazing game. Pandemic, they're both amazing games. Yeah. They are gateway games.
Mm.
So it's nice to have another thing in there, and having an IP like Marvel.
Yeah, because that game would not have been anything without Marvel at the end of the day.
Exactly. So. it's another thing that draws people to the table. Those miniatures are different. That draws people to the table. Drawing people to the table is what gets people in the hobby. So 6 out of 10 already. Yeah. There we go. Not even playing.
Maybe
it
7 because of the playmat.
7 because it's got a playmat. There we go.
But yeah, highly recommend. Number 3, one more Eric Lang game, which I recently got into it for because of Wayne. Thank you, sir. Because you are literally running my wallet out, sir. Ankh, Gods of Egypt.
Oh, yes.
Love that game. I'm a big fan of the trilogy. I know Wayne himself prefers Rising Sun. I actually enjoy Blood Rage a bit more.
When I actually spoke to Wayne the other day, he actually said the Ankh Gods of Egypt has now overtaken.
Has it topped it now?
It has topped it. He's played it enough. It's now topped it.
I had a feeling it was gonna, but probably not so soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's knocked... It's knocked it off the top five. Ankh is now in the top five.
Yeah. And yeah, like I said, the first time I played it, I obviously didn't do very well at it. But when I finished that game, I was going home and thinking, I should have done this. I should have done that. I couldn't stop thinking about it. So I thought, I've got to buy it, show my guys to do it, and then beat them at it, sort of thing.
I will say, like, again, haven't got around to playing it yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But those miniatures are absolutely stunning. Like, I've been there when Wayne has been playing it. It looks so good. Yeah. Like, visually, it is a stunningly good game. I can imagine.
All three of them are, in all fairness. Yeah. You know, they've done their homework. Yeah. Keep Simon, come on, whatever you call them now. Yeah. But yeah, there is, my hat's off to anyone who paints those things, because how they've got the courage to do that, my hat's off to them. Seriously.
I'm not going to lie. I keep looking at it going, I want to paint it.
Really?
Yeah, I really want
to. I might get you to do mine then, if that's the case, because I'm not doing it.
I can't say that I'll make a good job of it, but oh my God, I want to paint those.
But at least you'll attempt it, because I won't.
So yeah, I that's a game. I can totally understand why it's in there. Like, it's getting nothing but praise online. Yeah. So it's going to be a game I'm going to play. It may not be my type of game. Yeah. But at the same time, I give every game a go.
Yeah, you know, at least play once, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
I like to play games at least three times before I make my judgment. Is this a game for me? I don't know until third time, because you don't get that sort of nuance of how the game really works on the first play, because you're still learning the rules.
Sure.
Your second play, you just, I found this. I didn't know that last time. And then the third game is like, okay, now I feel like I know everything.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. It's like Wingspan took me like five times to really appreciate.
Yeah.
Because again, birds I don't really care about. No. But that game, just like, wow, this is actually pretty good.
Again, that's thanks to Wayne. Yeah, Wayne was the one that got me.
God damn it, Wayne. Stop making me run at my wallet.
He got me into Wingspan. I fought it for years. I always fight things. It's got a huge buzz. Everyone's raving about it. Okay, well, it's not going to live up to my hype now.
Yeah.
So I left it for a good 2 years. Last year, actually, was the first time I played it. So it was 2 years after release. And yeah, I've loved it. It's one of the best games I've played. It's really well done. And I can't wait to play it more.
Nice.
To be honest. So, yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, so that's three done. Number two, I believe you played this the first time with me at Wayne's, and it's Scythe.
Yes, that's Scythe. Correct. Yes. Yeah,
I friggin' love Scythe. I mean, again, this game I put aside for ages because it looks intimidating.
It does.
Be honest.
Yeah.
All those pieces, all those player boards, all those mechs.
Yeah. Even way before too much they of the come board. Out of the box, it's like the box is scary.
And then that's it. There's more coming out?
Yeah.
Stop right now.
Yeah, it's Mary Poppins' bag, isn't it? Like, everything just keeps coming out.
It just keeps coming out. But then like after that night we played it, I just bought the base game as normal, played it with mates, and when we've just been hooked on it since. Yeah. I have literally bought every nook and cranny for this board game, apart from one thing, which I'll go into later. From the legendary box to the expansion board to the module board to the playmat, to the couple of expansions, whatnot. We've even got the realistic resources.
Oh, nice.
Just to add to effect. It doesn't, but it's brilliant. It's literally there because I did not think I was going to like it, but it had so much praise and rave about it.
Yeah.
It's like, do you know what? Bite the bullet. Let's give this a try.
Yeah.
And then look what happened. It's like my second favorite game of all time so far.
Nice. Yeah, I can't fault that at all. I was actually gutted the other day because someone very local was selling Scythe.
Really?
And all of basically the all-in pledge.
No
of Scythe
way.
For £100.
That's a steal.
And I missed it. I got hold of it. I looked at it. I was like, I can't really afford it. But then I was like, no, doesn't matter. I'm going to get it. I can't turn that down.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it had already gone. Understandably, I'm not surprised for that price. That was an absolute steal. So whoever it was that got that, I literally hate you.
Yeah, exactly. Resell it.
Resell it. I'll pay you an extra 20 quid. There.
Maybe 120, yeah.
20 quid for a couple of days profit.
There. Exactly, yeah.
Nice. So yeah, number five.
Yeah, that was very quick. So again, number one, again, you know me, you know where this is going to go. It's a social deduction game.
Oh, surprise.
And of course, my favorite social deduction game, Who Goes There? Nice. It's been my number one for ages and probably will be for a while. This is an old game. It has been out since 2017, 2018, I believe.
I think
like
it was 17. Yeah, it might be 18.
But recently it's had a massive revamp. They've done a second edition, remade the box, remade the characters, remade mechanics, extra cards for the camp events and whatnot. They've rebuilt the health system, added four new characters so you can have even more players, and it is brilliant. It is probably one of my favorite social deduction games, and we, as my gaming group, have a blast of it every time.
Nice.
And of course, it's the thing. So again, big fan of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. I can't deny. I know a lot of people, oh, it's a stupid idea, it's a stupid one, but hey, we have a great time every time. And it's not like there's not one gameplay where we've not had a good time. And
good.
Recently, we've only just beaten it for the first time the other week. So,
wow.
And I've had this for a couple of years. So,
wow. So, yeah, okay. So it's a pretty tough game then.
Very tough, yeah.
It's not a game I've played. I like the sound of it. So yeah. I think that's going to be another game I'm going to be playing from your collection.
Yeah, man. Please do.
We've got some major crossover that we need to do.
You've got a few that I need to play. So yeah, we'll trade.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, that's a little bit of history on your tabletop gaming side of it. How about we talk about the podcast? Because there's a few things I've always wanted to know, despite the fact that we're good friends. And
yeah, totally.
We talk about the podcast quite regularly. There's always been some questions I've never asked you.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask them today.
Go for it.
Now, obviously, we at the Meeple Minded, it's primarily me. I've been on every show, but we've been through... There's nearly always a co-host.
Sure.
But you decided that you wanted to go on the theme of having just you as the host and then multiple guests. What was it that first made you think that you wanted to go on that format?
So the original idea for the podcast was just meant to be me and a certain group of guys. It was never meant to be these guys and more guests.
Okay, yeah.
Like I said, we talk about it all the time. The other guys are Board Stupid and whatnot, and Legend Bosco, and we all talk amongst one another. And I just pretty much say, look, I'm doing this episode on like top five action movies. And then they're like, oh, I want to be on that episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Or top five Christmas movies. Oh, I want to be on that episode. Yeah, yeah. Or top five social deduction games. I want to be on that episode. And that's how it pretty much came to be. And then it's like, at the end of the day, these guys are my friends. You're my friends. I don't want to say no. I mean, and at the end of the day, it's obviously a topic that they really are passionate about. Like, I can't not have you on a board game episode, for example. Because let's face it, you're a pro. So...
Looking from the show, you definitely are a pro. I'm gonna have to take a bit out of Wayne's, but there, don't put that shade on me.
Sorry, Wayne. I'm passing it to him for now.
Yeah, exactly.
This room is insane.
To quote Wayne, don't quote that BS. You know it's BS.
You're a pro. He's a games master.
There you go.
That's it. So like I said, it was just literally meant to be me and a group of guys, but then all my friends have just wanted to come on and talk about the stuff they love today, and I'm not going to say no to that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's fair enough. And I suppose that the follow-on to that thing was that at what point did you decide that, oh, I want to do a podcast? And then how did that manifest into, I want to do it about literally movies, TV shows, video games, and board games? Because it's a nice wide range that you do. Yeah. You know, we obviously focus more as like, well, we are a tabletop gaming podcast.
Yeah.
You've got plenty of podcasts out there which are, well, we talk about movies. We talk about TV shows. We talk about video games. But you took the whole thing and went, no, I love all of these things.
Yeah.
And I feel that I have enough capability to talk about all of them. What was it that sort of made you make that decision?
So it's really weird. So I've always wanted to do podcasts full stop, but then doing night shifts where I work at Gatwick Airport, we and a group of guys always would, you know, try and keep ourselves awake, do a top five, for example.
Yep.
And it would be top five movies, top five video games, top five, you know, card games or whatever sort of thing. And you know what? I just thought to myself, this would make a really cracking podcast.
Yeah.
You know, because my original idea for the podcast was just strictly movies. Being a movie buff, it was going to be just movies. Me and Tim, you know.
Tim, yeah, I know Tim.
We used to go to movies all the time, and we used to run a Facebook page called Film by the Citizen, where we would review movies. And sometimes we would film ourselves, post on YouTube, and I thought, you know what? Instead of just filming us, why don't we just do it via audio and make a podcast of it?
Yeah.
Clearly never came about at the end of the day. I mean, I just became a dad at the time. So I had, you know, two little girls looking after. So it was obviously put on hold. And obviously COVID happened. I thought, you know what? I've actually got time to focus on pursuing this podcast. The equipment for it at the time was around.
Yeah.
Because it's much easier to do podcasts now, isn't it? Podcast recordings.
Yeah, because it's far, far more accessible to a lot of people now.
So. Exactly. And then, like you said, I had those four topics, which would broaden the... you know, make a lot of episodes out of. Because then I could do one of this, one of that, one of this, one of that.
Yeah.
And the only thing is, what do I call it?
Yeah. we had a bit of a laugh about this before we went live, didn't we?
So why don't I just take one initial from each topic I like, and then it's obviously, oh, it's MTV, and then I've got to put board games in. So there we go, there's the B, MTV.
Yeah.
Nice. So yeah, that's pretty much it, really. It's...
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good because obviously you've got a lot of passions that you are, you know,
and yeah, that's the thing as well. Yeah.
You're very, very passionate about these things. I know, I've known you for years now. Like, I knew you before you worked at Gatwick Airport.
Yeah.
And how passionate you were about movies then. And it's actually a really nice mix. I listen to it every week. It's great for when I'm at work because it's a bit longer than our shows. Really, obviously, there's a lot more going on. There's a lot more opinions to get out. So it is a longer podcast. But I mean, being that it's that long, do you find sometimes it's a struggle to try and keep the energy as high as it can be in order to make it as riveting as it can be for your listeners?
To be honest, I always double check with the guys before we start the podcast. Is this the topic you want to do? Because like you said, there's nothing more talking about it and then people start to struggle with, you know, the actual topic we're talking about. Mm. So that's why the top fives are in there, to change it up, to get people going. They got their lists and then they're like super hyped up to, do their top five, tell their experiences and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So, and it's quite funny you're saying about there being long. I've literally just done an episode which is 3.5 hours long. So that needs cutting down. So, no, yeah, I've not had an issue with it once, to be honest, but you know.
Yeah, I suppose that's a good thing when you have got quite a few guests with you is if someone is starting to wane a bit on their energy levels, it's like there's always other people there to sort of step in.
On the season one episodes, we had a lot of guests on one podcast. I think at one point we had 8 people. So I think the struggle at that time at one point was sharing mics because my thing I run it on can only take 4.
Yeah.
So that's probably where the issue is, but I learned my lesson and obviously never had that many since. So
yeah, and even on the audio and recording side of it, it's just an absolute nightmare having all those people. Like, unless you're in a proper sound recording studio where everyone's got their own little booth, it's a nightmare.
Absolutely.
You've got echoes to deal with.
Mm.
And yeah, just fun. Fun in the post-processing.
Yeah, in a very hot room.
I've got to say,
in a very hot conservatory studio.
Yeah, yeah. It's like me, as I refer to this as the Meeple Miner studio. We're in my living room, people.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, I've already shaded on that. Half the living room is a damn recording studio.
It looks more of a studio than mine. Mine's just a conservatory, so.
But, you've got a nice table to get around there.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Which is good. I mean, I think the next guest I've got on, I've actually got the Rainbow Cast Media podcast coming on.
Oh, nice.
And there's 3 of them.
Okay.
And the aim is that I will have James with me as well. So it's like there's going to be 5 of
us. Wow, okay.
Around the table. Luckily, this bad boy that I've got can hold up 6 mics.
Yeah.
So
super jealous.
There was a reason I invested in this, and it's because I knew that they were going to be coming on as guests. So I need to up because I just used to have a 2-person interface.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it needed
definitely
upgrading.
An upgrade.
But yeah, it makes it a lot easier. I haven't got to have my computer running and making noise in the background and having to edit that noise.
It's crazy
out
how podcasts are just so much easier to do now.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's so fun actually doing a podcast as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like I said, it's nice that you've got the passion. It's nice that you've got people that are willing to do it as well.
Yeah, I couldn't have done it without them today. So thank you guys if you're listening.
And congratulations to you guys as well, because it's not easy to actually get behind a microphone and actually not sound like a, you know, pardon the French, but not sound like a tit.
Yeah.
You know, I do it on a weekly basis. I sound like a tit. And for some weird reason, you people still listen to
I'm
me.
I'm afraid what I sound like then. But no, yeah, I totally understand, because I had a couple guys come on who did it once, have never been on the show since, because they're just flat out, nah. I didn't like the sound of my voice. Don't want to do it again.
Yeah. James has been around the whole time. Like, and he was originally one of my considerations to have as a co-host, but he wasn't interested either. The thought of being behind a mic scared the living daylights out of him. I was a drummer in a band, you know, I'm used to being on stage. Getting behind a mic is a whole nother level.
Yeah.
It's you know, because...
And being the host is even more
exactly.
to that, though, is a
exactly.
thing. So.
And this is what always the thing is, like, I need a co-host. I can't do this on my own. Like, I've done, I think it's 2 episodes now where I was on my own and I hated it. I literally read my notes, blah, 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 I'm done, thank you, bye.
Yeah.
You know, I hate doing it on my own. So, yeah, if I have to do it on my own, just feel it's passion for you guys out there that I
absolutely.
Still do it. I hate it.
Yeah, but it's also your passion as well. Yeah. You know, because you know you wouldn't be doing the podcast in that case.
Exactly. So. There's so much that goes into running these things. So yeah, it's definitely a passion project.
I'll be honest with you, like, I'm amazed the amount of topics you come up with every week. It's like I'm struggling just to end season three right now.
I've got a book. It's got just topical discussions. There's about 72 different topical discussions written out, ready to go. Wow. Haven't done my notes and stuff for them yet, but the actual topics are there, ready to go. Obviously, we try and do two game highlights a month. So that's two episodes. And then my plan is to have a guest on every month.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got a 4-week month. I've got a guest. I've got a topical discussion. I've got two game reviews. Yeah,
it's a good idea.
So it sort of does...
It spreads it out
quite a bit. And I said this to Wayne as well. I feel sorry for them. Like, if I was doing a game review every week, I'd get through this collection in no time at all. I would feel like, I've got to buy 4 games every month.
Yeah.
And again, getting back to the missus, I think I'd die if I did that.
Yeah.
So
hide those receipts.
Exactly. Paul, our newsman, he is literally, I thought I was bad on Kickstarter. Paul is a Kickstarter addict through and through. He has got so many. I've got maybe 2 games that I'm still expecting.
I think I've got
from
one left now, and that's it.
And I think he's at something like he's awaiting 50 odd.
Wow.
You know, it's like, wow, dude. Yeah. That's
my
a
hat's
lot.
Off to you, sir.
It's some dedication, right?
Yeah,
there.
That's some money.
So, yes. You've said just now that you are partway through season 3.
Nearly halfway.
I know recently at the time of recording, you've just dropped an episode on card games, which I haven't managed to listen to yet. I'm back to work tomorrow, so I'll be listening to it tomorrow.
Nice. That's another listener.
But can you give us any ideas of any upcoming shows you've got planned?
In October, MTVB Podcast always does a spooktacular season for Halloween. So every week, we talk about a horror movie franchise.
Okay.
So last year we did like Freddy Krueger, Friday 13th, Halloween, and then our favorite horror movies. This year we've got like the Aliens movies, It's the George A. Romero movies. So quite a few we've got planned for October. Nice. I just did a really, really good episode about video game soundtracks, which is probably my favorite episode of season 3 so far.
Please tell me someone brings up Sonic.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes. Yeah, yeah. The episode's kind of different. So normally, you know how I do it. A few questions in the top 5.
Yep.
So we did literally one question at the start, a video game soundtrack quiz, and then straight into the top 5. So changed up a little bit just to change up for our listeners. And a couple other ones to end the series, which would be pretty good as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I shall look forward to it. I know we've had discussions as well about doing another board game one at some point.
Yes, I have 3 written out that I need you to come on. So please come along and do
those
for me.
Like I said, you let me know when I can. Providing I can clear my schedule, I will. Obviously, now we're out of a global apocalypse and I'm back running clubs again. Mm. And pity me, I've got to do all this.
Mm.
But yeah, it's like my evenings are suddenly just disappeared again. But I will do what I can to sort of
Excellent.
To free up some
I'm
time
hold you
to,
out, sir.
To come on. Yeah, just drop me a message, tell me when, and I'll do what I can.
Nice.
I promise.
Thank you. Every little helps.
So I think I'm going to shoot you one more question.
Go for it.
Before I hand the floor over to you to bring up anything you want to bring up. And that is, are there any games that you're really looking forward to, be it video games, board games, tabletop games coming up in the future?
I've got a bit of a list here, so can you bear
Go
with me
it.
On this? So
I'm gonna turn my mic off and just have a snooze. Yeah.
So I've got ones that, so again, you're very into your board games a lot more. I'm the guy who's playing catch up at the moment. So I've put into 2 ones. So there's ones that I want to play that I haven't played yet.
Yep.
And then there's ones that's coming out soon. So I'll do the ones that I want to play. So Villainous, haven't played. Mysterium, Terraforming Mars, Star Wars Rebellion, Brass, Imperial Assault, Dune Imperium, and Battlestar Galactica.
Okay,
I'd love to
nice,
try those.
Nice list there.
Ones I'm looking forward to, one of them being my last Kickstarter, which is Nemesis Lockdown. Mm-hmm. Cannot wait for that because I did the whole shebang on that, and I've never done that on Kickstarter.
Nice.
So, He-Man, obviously, the new Seamon one, not the other one that's done by...
Ooh, so you think you're going to be able to get one.
Comes with Castle Grayskull. Did you see that model?
I've actually backed the Archon one.
Oh, you've done that one? Right,
I've done that one because, I'll be honest, they released the the footage of the Kulmini or not one. It's like, it looks okay, but it didn't feel like Eternia to me.
Yeah.
Whereas the Archon one actually, you know, the board looks nice. It's nice and colourful.
Ah, okay. Right.
And Castle Grayskull Dice Tower, man.
Yeah,
comes with
true.
That. It's like, yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I've got that coming. I've gone all in on that.
All right, so I'll tell you what.
One.
I'll play your one, and then we'll play mine. And then when Sounds we good. All hate my one, I'll just sell it.
Yeah. have you figured out how much it's going to cost you to import there?
No, I haven't even bothered to the Kickstarter yet. Yeah, I just want to see some of it. But yeah, Zombicide Undead and Alive, which is the Western version of it.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine has kickstarted that. So again, I don't need to fork over it, but look forward to playing that next year. Marvel United next year, I'll bring in the X-Men and the Fantastic Four to it. So I'm so looking forward to that. That'd be awesome. There's one I missed out, which is already out, which you mentioned on my podcast, which was Aliens, A Glorious Day in the Core.
Oh, yes.
Really want to play that. Yep. Still haven't played it yet, which is really sad considering I'm an Alien fan.
Yeah. I can now safely say, because I know on the podcast I brought up to you that I was in two minds about it because it being Gale Force 9 and they have a real sort of...
That's right. 50-50. Yes, we were a bit about it, yeah.
It is a fantastic
is it really?
Game. They have knocked it out of the park.
Oh, excellent.
It's a great game.
I'm finally someone I know that who's played it.
Yeah, it's great.
Because the cheap price for it would like kind of put me off as well.
Yeah, don't let it put you off. It's great. It's a great game.
Oh,
and the expansions are amazing too.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, good. Then I've got to see if someone's selling all those cheap then.
Yeah.
Grab the whole lot. a couple more. Ravensburg. I don't know if I pronounced that properly. Ravensburg. Are doing an alien game called The Fate of Nostromo, which is out in October, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to that. And one more, again, for any 80s fans out there, which is Goonies Never Say Die. Cannot wait for that game.
Oh, the Prospero Hall.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. I love the idea of the Goonie Master
instead
of a Dungeon Master. That's a cool little concept, nice little mechanic.
Yeah. Did you see the other game that Prospero Hall just released, the Fast and Furious game?
No, I don't even like that series.
I mean, how
they're
do you...
They're scraping the barrel now,
how
surely.
How do you translate those films into a board
into
game?
Into a board series? Game? No way.
It's like, oh, well, is it going to be a Grand Theft Auto-style game, you know, like it's supposed to be, where you're stealing cars and driving fast around the track? Or is it going to be about family? No.
Oh, God.
Is it going to be about driving down a runway that's about...
Six miles long.
6 miles long.
Oh, God. Those movies, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah. Number one was okay. I got that. Like, number one was okay. But
yeah, number one is always the best, isn't it?
This is a one-hit wonder, guys. Those people that love it, I won't slate you, but number one, one-hit wonder.
We'll slate you when you buy it.
Yeah, exactly. The worst thing is I've heard good things about the game. I can't bring myself to buy it. Like, if someone's got it, I want to play it. I'm not sure I want to play.
Yeah, as long as you play someone else's copy, don't buy your own.
I want to break my rule. I will play that game once.
And that's it.
And that's it to say I've played it.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you're still giving it a go, mate.
Unless, of course, it's really good and then I'll play it again.
Do you know what? I can't imagine it being really good, but
no.
You need to let me know.
No. I if I find someone who's...
I don't know if I can actually bring myself to play it, so I'll take your word for it afterwards.
So, yeah, that's all your games that you're looking forward to, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really... I haven't really been looking on Kickstarter as much, so I'm not quite sure what is to come out. Because, again, I'm very late when it comes to... You constantly messaging me in Facebook saying, this is coming out, and this is coming out. That you're pretty much... You and the Meeple Minded podcast is pretty much my source of news income on board games these days. So,
yeah, that's good to know.
So, exactly, yeah. So,
what did you think of that the Transformers chess set that I sent you that was like
good
700
God,
quid?
Do you know what? I wish I could play chess. Because I probably would have forked out for
I only wanted the actual chess pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
They look so good. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah,
there's so many good chess pieces out there, chess sets out there. I mean, like the Lord of the Rings one or the Jurassic Park one. Again, I can't play chess, but I would just have it there just for the sake of it, you know?
Yeah. I completely agree. But yeah, is there any other subjects you would like to talk about today before we let these people go about their day, evening, or night, whatever it is?
Hey, just go, guys out there. I mean, get into board games. There is, you know, take it from a guy who wasn't into it, who gapped it for years and then went back into it full force. You know, get to a bunch of guys, go to these clubs. There is so much out there for you, and you know, I highly recommend them enough.
Yep, couldn't agree more. It's why I do this. It's why I do. It's why I run the clubs. It's all about building a community, and you build a community by bringing in new people. And
absolutely.
I can safely say I know you haven't managed to get down to the any of the clubs since we reopened.
No, I haven't wanted to, but yeah.
But yeah, we've had so many new players that have turned up
I heard that there was a few, like, people had to get, you know, kicked out because there was no tables left or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it happened again last night. I ran out of space and I had to.
But that's incredible, dude. Because I remember when you were starting it and you were struggling for people to come in. And now look at you're, you know, the next best thing now.
Yeah,
COVID's helped a lot.
I'm at the point now as I've got to buy new tables, which is a huge thing for me. It's given me a big smile on my face.
Do you know what? I bet you people will bring their own table.
They probably would, but it kind of whether they let them in or not is another thing. Giving you everything, this, right?
Yeah.
So I'm damn well
come
do
in.
It.
I have my table.
You know, I've got to buy more scenery because there's war game players that want to play, and yeah, it's a busy time. It's a fun time. I'm loving it.
Mm.
But yeah, thank you very much for coming on today.
No, the thank floor you. Is yours. Thank you for actually having me, man.
No, it's been a pleasure. Has been a pleasure. The floor is yours to tell people where they can find you and. Tell them all about your podcast and how it is so much better than mine.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but but yes, guys, obviously my name is Anthony and I am the host of the MTVB podcast, the podcast that talks about movies, TV shows, video games and board games. You can find us anywhere. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. We podcast on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Radio Republic, Pocket Casts. We're everywhere. Simply go on Google, type in MTVB. And you'll find us, and I hope you enjoy the episodes.
Awesome. See, I told you, far more professional than us. That sounded proper radio, man.
Do you know what? It's like from season one, if you ever go back and listen to it, I'm terrible at the openings. But on season three, I've got like a DJ voice. I'm now like, hello, welcome to the podcast.
I was talking about this with Wayne. Where as soon as you just press that record button, it's like, hello.
Yes. And what?
It's not how I sound at all.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Like, oh, I've drained all my energy voice. Now we're just going to talk normally. Like. Yeah.
Season one's terrible. I'm like, hello, welcome to the
So you want a good laugh, you want season one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you want a joke and a laugh, guys, listen to season one.
Awesome. Well, it has been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you,
we
sir.
Are going to do this again.
It's been
at
really,
some point.
Really good to be here, man. Thank you for bringing me on.
Awesome. I can't wait to come and talk board games with you again.
Yeah,
we will have you back on here.
See if you can take my Crokinole championship.
I am going to take it. I am going to take it. There's no might.
I have got a belt. I promise you, there is a belt.
Okay,
so you can
cool.
have it.
That's good because I still own the AWF belt. And you guys don't know what that is either.
Ooh. But yeah, we should do an episode of that.
We should.
On MTVB at least.
I think we should, yeah.
It'll go in the TV category.
Yeah. So if you guys want to know what the AWF actually is, you're going to have to listen to the MTVB podcast.
Exactly.
Thank you very much to my guest for this show, Ant-Man, man. It was great having you on. It's been a long time coming, to be fair. And that was a really good chat. Really, really enjoyed it. This week, unfortunately, Paul was unable to get time to record the news through work commitments and personal life getting in the way. So this week there will be no news, I'm afraid, guys. So I'm here to sign off. Thank you very much for joining us. We will see you next week for more tabletop gaming goodness. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter by searching for The Meeple Minded. Give us a like, give us a subscribe and all that kind of stuff. But thank you very much for joining us. I've been Jason. You've been listening to The Meeple Minded. We will see you next week.